several Wisconsin prisons and jails have been in lockdown for as long as 7 months, and inmates and their families have reported inhumane, unsanitary, and unsafe conditions, including extended isolation and withheld medical care. Coming up, we'll talk to a criminal justice reform advocate about how lockdown conditions are affecting incarcerated people. But first, a reporter who's been covering Wisconsin corrections gives us the rundown on what's happening in the Waupun and Green Bay correctional institutions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you know anyone who's serving time in a prison or working as a corrections officer in a prison that's in lockdown? Have you experienced it yourself? Do you have questions about what's happening in Waupun, Green Bay, or other prisons and jails? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Mario Caron is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, as well as a New York Times local investigations fellow examining Wisconsin's Department of Corrections. Mario, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What does it mean when we say prisons are on lockdown? What does that mean? How does that differ from normal prison life?
Yeah, so it's a good question and a good place to start. So lockdowns really refer to the fact that prisoners are confined to their cells for longer periods of time than typical. Now, of course, when we think about prisons, we think of people being confined in cells. But the reality is that for many prisons, there's activities, there's programs to do during the day. There are, opportunities to get out for recreation. There is timely access to medical care. But when we're talking about a lockdown, which the Department of Corrections sometimes called modified movement, that means that people are really spending an extended amount of time in their cells. So at one prison, Waupun Prison, which I wrote about quite extensively, this can look like being confined in a cell up to 24 hours a day. Irregular showers, irregular opportunities for recreation, even getting clean clothes has been delayed. So it's really something that has disrupted the daily lives and the routines of many of the prisoners incarcerated there. But there are even more, concerning or potentially alarming risks involved in a lockdown, such as not getting timely access to medical care.
Now, a lockdown, I would imagine, is usually a short-term thing. How long has lockdown been going on in, for example, Waupun?
Yeah, it's another good question. So lockdowns, yes, they typically are done in an emergency situation. I mean, this can be if there's an outbreak of violence or something disruptive at a prison. Over the long weekend, people can be confined to their cells, and maybe the prison guards will do a search of the facility to find contraband. So it really is usually an emergency short-term situation. At Waupun, for example, but at Waupun, however, we're talking about a lockdown that's been going on 7 months. And just for a bit of context, in 1983, there was a riot at Waupun Prison where prisoners took control of one portion of the prison, took hostages, set fires, stuff that is relatively more serious than what we're hearing about today. And it was locked down for only 3 days. And so 3 days versus a 7 month lockdown that we're seeing now is quite the difference.
And the big story here, or a big part of the story, is the cause of the lockdowns. Why are they happening?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and one that has been surprisingly tricky to try to pin down. So the Department of Corrections, for its part, has said that the lockdown at Waupun was caused by threatening behavior, assaultive behavior. We weren't given many details. I wasn't given, as a reporter, many details of what that actually looked like, but I was told that that was the reason for it, that there were safety and security concerns. I was also told that it had nothing to do with short staffing initially, that it wasn't attributable to that. Well, in the months since, the Department of Corrections has changed some of its statement and now acknowledges that short staffing is part of the cause, is part of the reason why they cannot lift the lockdown and why we're going on 7 months in the same sort of typical condition.
And Mario, in your piece, you talk about some of the numbers on staffing, and they are very stark, very striking. Can you tell us how short-staffed Waupun and other correctional institutions are?
Yeah, sure can. And also to set the table, short staffing and vacancies is a problem that Wisconsin public agencies are facing nearly across the board. although it does seem to be most acute in prisons and in jails. So we're talking about system-wide, we're talking about a 32% vacancy rate, roughly around there, and that's in the prison system. At Waupun is the most short-staffed prison, and we're looking at a 53% vacancy rate, meaning more than half the positions are not filled at that prison, despite recruitment efforts that have been happening in recent years.
Is there any sense, Mario, that 50%, that's half, any sense that things are going to turn around anytime soon? Any grounds for optimism that there might be more staffing, which in turn might help end the lockdowns?
Yeah, so there has been a lot of discussion over the past year and movement to try to raise the wages for correctional officers. And some of that has been approved and is sort of underway, but it's going to take some time for that to recruit and hire additional officers. And there's no saying how soon that relief can be felt. In the meantime, I've heard from prisoners and others who are detained there that it's, you know, there are some weeks that are better than others, that sometimes it's been incrementally better, meaning maybe they get 2 showers a week, which they're by law required to have under normal circumstances. But then it's right back to 1 shower a week or perhaps no showers a week, no recreational opportunities. So it's quite hit and miss there still.
And you use the phrase by law there, Mario. Are there lawsuits happening or in the works over these conditions?
Indeed, there are. There is one attorney named Lonnie Story. He is based in Florida, but has taken cases here in Wisconsin. And he's filing a class action lawsuit on behalf of several inmates there. Among issues covered in the lawsuit, which will be filed in the coming days, are the loss of recreational opportunities, just the general conditions, the lack of timely access to medical care. So that is moving forward, and you know there may be others down the road.
Mario, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Mario Caran, reporter for Wisconsin Watch and a New York Times Local Investigations Fellow examining Wisconsin's Department of Corrections. He talked to us about lockdowns currently gripping several Wisconsin jails and prisons, in large part because of staffing shortages. Up next, we'll talk to a criminal justice reform advocate about how these lockdown conditions affect Wisconsin inmates, maybe some possible solutions. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, solutions you might like to see, and if you have an experience in the correction system as an inmate or on the staff, love to hear from you as well. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about lockdowns in Wisconsin prisons, like the Waupun and Green Bay Correctional Institutions, how lockdown conditions are affecting inmates, and how the crisis might be solved. You can join in with your questions or maybe your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Melissa Luden joins us now, a coalition and relations advocate for the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin. Melissa, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
We just heard some of the basics of what's going on with lockdown. I understand, Melissa, you've worked with incarcerated people, have been incarcerated yourself. From the human side of things, how do these conditions going on for months affect inmates' physical and mental well-being?
Great question. From the human standpoint, I think one thing I would really like to point out is language does matter. And referring to people who are incarcerated as prisoners or offenders can exacerbate the problem or really try to bring that human component. So I think it's just important to recognize that these are still people, they're human beings, and that they're just currently incarcerated.
Yeah, and with that in mind, how are these months of lockdown affecting them as people?
I would say taking a look at specifically people who are in Waupun, in Green Bay, or have been to either, it's very taxing. It's very, I would say, hard for them mentally. I think many people still incarcerated are not necessarily even processed the lockdowns from when we had COVID-19 in Wisconsin. And being locked down to what Mario had indicated for 24 hours a day, not being able to come out, maybe not to do laundry, have showers, The human component of that is just that takes a significant toll on a way a person thinks of themselves. That self-esteem already being in a system and a facility that is already very dehumanizing of that individual, this just kind of adds to that weight, as well as many of these people are not able to have visitation or have had to have visitation canceled. And so not being able to hug your child, your spouse, your mom or your dad, even if it was one time that they visited them a month, that human physical connection does take a toll on somebody's mental health. And I think we've seen, or I've heard of families who've traveled maybe hours to be able to go see a family member in Green Bay or Waupun, and then they find out after driving those several hours with that person's children that visitation had been canceled. So again, the weight even on the family of not knowing or something came up and they can't visit is just very traumatic and difficult.
As we heard from Mario, it looks like understaffing is a root cause of a lot of these lockdown conditions. Is it as straightforward as that, or do you think there's more to the story?
That's definitely a good question. I think Mario did a fantastic job talking about this, as well as the research he was able to put together. What I know is that staffing shortages go back to when we had Governor Walker in office, and he took the union away in Act 10 from the correctional staff, where the unions were still allowed with law enforcement and the fire department. You can see at that starting point, taking that union away, the trickle down of losing staff started to happen. I think at this point we've seen where, you know, correctional officers as well, they're not valued in this workforce, having to battle raises. I think having to work in very difficult situations where they're working maybe 16 hours for three or four times a week, I think explains the system as a whole, that if we're not taking care of our staff or really prioritizing how we can best support them, we're not going to take care of the people in the prison system. So I think it's really the tap above when you look at the system as a whole. Nobody is being taken care of.
Looking at the number of people who are incarcerated in Wisconsin, Melissa, we saw incarceration numbers go up over a few decades a lot. They've dipped a little, I think, during COVID, but not percentage-wise a huge amount. Is that part of the story here too?
I would definitely say, I think we know several years ago, and it's still safe to even say today, the driving force to mass incarceration in Wisconsin is still due to a crimeless revocation, where somebody in the community violated a rule of supervision, which could have been a relapse or a missed appointment, is being sent back to prison. While that person may not necessarily be at Waupun or Green Bay, what's happening is we know that we have several people at Waupun and Green Bay that are not classified as a maximum level of custody, but a medium status that could move down to a medium unit if there was that space. I think we know there is some space. But if we take a look at, again, like I said, with that driving force, I know that the DOC has made some changes to not doing those revocations for somebody who has committed a rule violation, but we know that they're still happening and that it's still a significant problem.
Let's bring on a caller. Ronaldo is with us in Racine. Ronaldo, hi.
Hello, how are you doing? First of all, I wanted to say thank you to you all. Trying to bring some light to this very, very big problem. I used to volunteer and go to the prisons and talk to the gentlemen, young men, older men, whatever, and encourage them. It became more difficult, and then they said, nope, you got to be a minister or a chaplain or whatever. And so then I got my chaplain license, and yeah, I went on to keep on doing that, to encourage. There's people who have not had a letter or a phone call from family or friends in many years. And when you lose hope, you lose everything. So there's not much there. First point would be that I had a son that worked in corrections, and he was based in a tournament. He was a sergeant, and he was one, and he should have been at least four or five in that institution, but he was the only one there and had emergency, and he called out the ambulance, saved that young man's life. So, you know, we do have a shortage. He was...
Ronaldo, I'm sorry, we don't have a lot of time left. Gave us a couple points there. First of all, Ronaldo mentioned, Melissa, he went out and got a prison chaplain license to go. Not everybody's going to do that, but do you have thoughts on how to advocate for people who are incarcerated?
Good question. We have definitely a movement, I would say, in Wisconsin, particularly with people who are directly impacted and are very connected. You know, one person I can say in particular, Shannon Ross from the community, has a community newsletter that is pretty much spanned out to every correctional facility in the state through Text Behind, who's able to connect a lot of resources and updates to what we are all doing around the state. So for like reentry resources, who to contact maybe in what area that you're getting released, and just really motivating and powerful stories to keep the people in the prisons feeling hope and motivated. So one of the things I could suggest even in that is getting connected with the community, seeing how they can support that newsletter or providing Shannon Ross some things that can go in that newsletter. But overall, I think even with Expo and Free and what we're doing at the ACLU, just trying to be able to be of service and let people know ultimately, you know, people that end up in the prison system, they need basic needs.
Thanks to our guest, Melissa Luden, Coalition and Relations Advocate for the American Civil Liberties Union, talking about the impact of long-term lockdown conditions in Wisconsin prisons.